My guest is economist Bjorn Kollerud with local Santa Barbara-based company RDN. Robert D. Niehaus works nationally and internationally, demographics, economic trends, and that's what we discussed the prior segment, and we wanted to wrap up with some information about how all of this housing has been affecting rents. And can you hear me now?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay. So let's hear what you've discovered in your research about how the housing market has impacted rents.
Sure. So this kind of low housing inventory that we've been seeing in the sales market has really been applying upward pressure on the rents. And you know, these trends, a lot of them have been starting before COVID, but all of this has really been exacerbated by COVID. So, you know, we just talked a little bit about low interest rates, so that demand for houses on the for sale side has really increased. This combined with that low inventory drove sales prices up quite a bit. And then what we've been seeing on the ground is that some landlords have actually been selling their rental properties to kind of cash out during these high prices, and that's, you know, further restricted the rental inventory. So it's kind of hitting them, hitting the rental side, you know, double almost for that. So, you know, one thing that we talked about a little bit earlier was that there's this moratorium on evictions right now. So there could be a little bit of some more shifts in the market once that ultimately is lifted, which I'm not sure quite when it's going to be lifted. But yeah, essentially we're seeing really similar things in the rental market: extremely low vacancy rates, low inventory, and prices rising very fast.
Very interesting. I don't follow rents, except just anecdotally here and there. And mm-hmm. You haven't done any studies specifically in the Santa Barbara area about rents?
Mm-mm. No, not lately in the Santa Barbara area. We have not. But it'd be really interesting to look into.
Yeah, but I hear what you said, because in 2020, one of the listings that I sold was a rental that actually had a legal accessory dwelling unit. So it was two rentals. And it sold to a family, and the rent and the tenants were gone.
It makes sense. Have you been seeing a lot of kind of shifting towards ADUs lately? There's been some sort of policy locally lately, has there not?
There has been. And as a matter of fact, the aforementioned Rosie Deisty is the city planner who deals with accessory dwelling units. And the last 3 weeks were topics all about that, city, county, and statewide. So that's a push. That's what government's trying to do, is to create more housing. They can't figure out how to do it because everything's too expensive and there's no land. So they're trying to push that, even proposing up in Sacramento to allow all single-family residences to become fourplexes.
Wow. That would be quite the change.
I can't imagine that'll ever get off the ground. But then again, the accessory dwelling unit push surprised me as well. So, yeah,
sure.
low inventory is the story. I wrote a parody on that. We'll have to find that. My guest has been economist Bjorn Kollerud from RDN, Robert D. Niehaus, a Santa Barbara-based company. We'll load the podcast with his website. Bjorn, always good talking to you. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. I hope to see you in studio next time.
You got it. You bet. If Richard gives the okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. All right. See you, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Very interesting. Yeah, I referenced this Realtor.com article. As a matter of fact, I mentioned to tell Bjorn before we hung up that one of the other things I mentioned about is the what they call FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out, adding to the overall frenzy. And that's certainly true, I believe. Okay, A Castle with a Tragic Story. The site where Phil Spector shot Lana Clarkson fetches $3.3 million in Alhambra, of all places, known as the Pyrenees Castle, has waffled on and off the market since 2019. And the shooting death occurred in 2003. He bought the place in 1998 for $1.1 million. And anyone who bought real estate in California in the 90s can pat themselves on the back. And it didn't last long. 5 years later, in 2003, and Spector died at age 81 in January of 2021 after contracting COVID in prison. The home was sold by his former wife, Rachelle Short. But to be clear, it wasn't a short sale, just her name was Short. No relationship to Martin Short. And I mentioned this sale to a fellow realtor, and I said, so do you think the seller would have to disclose the 2003 death in the house, and specifically murder? Mm-hmm. And the other agent said, well, no, it's just 3 years. You just have to disclose within 3 years. But I've been to seminars and where lawyers have spoke, and when you have a death of some type of notoriety like this, and the death is a murder, and not only a murder, but I mean, you couldn't get more notorious than this. Last month, my guest from the real estate reporter from the Wall Street Journal talked about the sale of one of Harvey Weinstein's home up in where his mother lived in Connecticut. And the woman bought it, and like 2 days later, all the news about Harvey Weinstein hit the fan, and she was very upset that she wasn't told about that. But I don't know what the laws are in Connecticut versus California. And basically, is sellers should disclose something that affects the marketability, desirability, and potentially the value of the home. And I think if you sold a home and you didn't disclose that Phil Spector murdered Lana Clarkson, even though it was 18 years ago, I think that the buyer, if they found out afterwards, could make a good argument that you should have disclosed it. But I would imagine it's just you know, and what did they do to O.J. Simpson's house? Didn't they tear that down, I think? But not necessarily the Epstein's they tore down, but O.J. Simpson's, the Brentwood home, I think they tore that down, but not the condo where the murders took place. So anyway, it's just you got to ask your question as a seller. If you were a buyer, would you want to know this information? Would it potentially impact you from buying the house? And so then it's better to look at disclosures from a seller's point of view as get out of jail free. You know, if you disclose it and the buyer walks, you avoided a lawsuit after the place sold and you didn't disclose it. Better to disclose it and potentially lose a buyer than get sued later because you elected not to disclose it. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.